Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, May 26, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 59, beginning with Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, reading through Step 12, ending with to practice these principles in all our affairs. We're going to be commenting on steps 10, 11, and 12 this morning. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Audrey M.P. Reader of the text this morning is Penny L.C. Jordan L. will be reading page 164, and our backup reader is Shelley E. The reference number for Tuesday, May 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,010. That's 17010. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 26, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 17,018. That's 17018. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Dawn B. Thank you very much. My name is Joanne L. I am from Rhode Island, and I am a recovered person. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and thanks for your service again, Dawn, and have a great meeting.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I'll now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, Team Wednesday. I'm Audrey M.P. from Southern California. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I pass. Thank you, Dawn. Have a good meeting, everybody.
Thank you so much, Audrey MP. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 59, beginning with step 10, where it says, continued to take personal inventory, reading through step 12, ending with, to practice these principles in all our affairs. And we're commenting today on steps 10, 11, and 12. I will now ask Penny LC to begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Well, actually, it says carry the message to alcoholics, so to be correct. I appreciate that we have these directions, these instructions, and so well outlined in this Big Book. And as I've come to read through the first nine, I know I will have done a lot of work behind me. But when I come to step 10, 11, and 12, all of that work needs to be maintained. And this is how I maintain it. I continue. There's, it's not like I graduate and I'm done. This is a daily commitment to ensure that I'm able to remain spiritually fit. And so with step 10, the beautiful gift of it, I get to grow in wisdom and compassion. You know, I get to constantly be realigned with God's will. And that's a gift to me, but I have to be able to do the work. And with step 11, again, carrying out the instructions given. But the gift is I have a gradual change in the way I think and feel and behave. And then with step 12, the blessing of it is that I build a useful, purposeful life with a sense of self-worth and personal meaning. So overall, when I continue to maintain my spiritual fitness by doing steps 10, 11, and 12 every day, I'm able to expand my self-consciousness, improve my God consciousness, and manifest service consciousness. And what a gift that we all get to do as we will follow these three steps. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Chris
Mark H. E.
One more time.
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Margo.
Kristen
Mo
R.
H.
Margo. What was your initial, Margo? And I heard Mo H.
I think it's D. Dawn.
Okay, Margo D.
Bruce
I have
Chris D.
Bruce E. And who was that other voice? Joanne B. And was that Virginia?
Did
yes.
you get Margo at the beginning? Or
yep.
Really?
Yep. I sure have Margo. And then was there a Virginia?
Yes, Virginia T.
Virginia T. Excellent. So I have Kristen R., Margo D., Mo H., Bruce E., Joanne B., and Virginia T. Did I miss someone?
I think there's two Margos because I didn't say my last initial when I had come in. It's a problem. I'll just pass.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go with what we have. And was there another Margo? Nope. Okay.
Maybe I gave the wrong initial.
Me. Oh,
yeah.
So it is another person. Okay.
No, it's you, Margo. Who is your, what's your initial, Margo? Well, she was unmuting. Okay. All right. So we're going to go with Kristen R., Margo, with any initial that you want to put there. Mo H., Bruce E., Joanne B., and Virginia T. Go ahead, Kristen R. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Oh, thank you. My name is Kristen R., and I'm a compulsive eater living in Virginia. And steps 10, 11, and 12. For a long time in program, I was very good at doing a dance of 10 and 11. I was really good at getting up in the morning and praying and doing an evening review and doing 10 steps whenever I needed to. But I'd let go of 12. And, you know, part of step 10, what it says, you know, after we complete our review, our inventory, we're supposed to resolutely turn our attention to someone we can help. So step 12 is embedded in step 10, and I ignored it. I didn't sponsor people, and I didn't reach out to newcomers. I didn't try to be of use to anyone, so I relapsed. And the only reason I mention that now is because I need to be reminding myself of how important it is to stay in service, because life keeps coming at me. Life doesn't stop just because I went through the steps and I worked my program. And that's why they have steps 10, 11, and 12, so that we can remind her that every day we need to do this work. We need to do a 10, when we get agitated or resentful or doubtful, and we need to do step 11, keep that evening review so that we know where we're at, and we don't get lost in our own, I don't get lost in my own disease. And we need to do step 12 to be of service, to be of maximum usefulness to our higher power. So I need to keep doing these steps every day, and I need to do all three of them together. I don't need to do just 10 and 11 anymore by themselves, because let me tell you, I love listening to my own inventories. I love listening to people give me feedback about my inventories. What I don't love as much is reaching out to people because I feel vulnerable and it's hard. But I need to keep doing it if I want my recovery to stay. And I need to do it every day. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. from Virginia. And now we'll have Margot share. And I think there's just one Margot. So go ahead and if you could give me your initial of your last name. I didn't catch it. So Margot, please press star one and share with us, please.
Is that me?
Yep, go ahead. What's your initial of your last name?
B as in boy.
B as in boy, perfect. Thank you, Margot B.
I'm not taking anybody else's slot, right? I'm good?
Nope, you're good.
Okay. Hi, my name is Margot, compulsive overeater. Great to claim my seat. Grateful for this meeting. And I guess what's coming to me is that, for me, the addiction can always take any form and rear its ugly head. No matter how much I go into this work, there's always more to be revealed. And for me, I guess step 11 has been really on my heart because I'm so busy seeking, and it's like another form of compulsiveness to compulsively seek God when if I'm really just still, like he's right there. You know, HP is like right there. And it's, and I think I noticed that ever since my mom's passing, that although some of the symptoms are gone, the defects obviously still rear their ugly heads in times of stress or in times of just struggling to accept life on life's terms. And I just wanted to acknowledge that that's the space I'm in, and I'm not liking it. I don't want to act out. I don't want to be impatient. I don't want to be rude, you know? This is the reason I came, yes, for the, you know, I came for vanity. I stayed for the sanity. I get that. Just falling into these defects is killing me. And I know it comes from the self-centered fear and all the codependency, you know? Like, as if, you know, food is going to take care of it, you know? Now it's like another person's going to take care of it. No. Or like it's got to be about God. You know, he is. He's everything or he's nothing. What is my choice to be? And that's why I just got to keep doing this work. It's just so incessant all the time. It's just always something else. But why can't that be just okay? And I read this in another, from another fellowship, that it's like there's no nobility in the struggle. There really is no nobility in the struggle. But my delusional mind, just like I think the food is going to be giving me comfort of ease, I'm delusional about this struggle. It's not what God wants for me. I just needed to acknowledge that, and I need to stay in his presence no matter what I'm doing and not in my head. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margot B. And now we'll have Mo H. share with us. And good morning, Mo.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Mo H. here, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict. My humble apologies for thinking I knew Margot's last initial. I thought it was Margaret. Anyway, my humble apologies to you and the group. All right. I was so excited to share today because I had my spiritual awakening when I finally learned how to do a step 10. Never was doing step 10s. I didn't know how to do them. Nobody had taught me. And finally, my most recent sponsor taught me how to do it. These are the growing steps. I know they've been called the maintenance steps. Yes, that's how we maintain our program. But we are also growing. And there are adjectives here that we need to look at. One, continued, promptly. And we sought through prayer and meditation. And And to carry out his will for us. And then on 12, it's to carry this message and to practice these principles. These are things I must do every day after I have completed all the steps, 1 through 9. I get to continue this journey by practicing the last 3 steps. And then sometimes when I have to, I go back and do a step 4 if I need to. But on step 10, it's so profound for me that when I am agitated, when I am irritated, I had a slight one last night where my cat wouldn't come in from outside. And I was really irritated that she was playing, you know, hide and go seek with me. And all the time she was in the house and she wasn't answering my call. And so I did a step 10 around that, you know, where am I being selfish, dishonest, resentful, and fearful? Well, I want her to obey me. And dishonest, well, I'm not accepting her as a cat because, you know, that's what cats do. And selfish, irritated, and I said a prayer for her. And then how can I be helpful? Well, the way I'm helpful is don't let her out at night. And the last one is fear. And my fear is, you know, that she would get lost or that an opossum might catch her or anything like that. And I give that fear to God. Please, God, remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. Well, you would have me be a conscientious mother to the cat. So it's just simple little things like that. I also do 10 steps over being too high, being too happy, because I need to balance. Because if I'm too high, if I'm too happy, I'm going to fall down. There's going to be a downside. And usually that doesn't happen often that I'm too happy. But sometimes when I, you know, used to come home from a retreat, I would be very high. And a 10th step is a good thing to do there. All right. With that, I'll pass. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Mo H. Now we're going to have Bruce E. followed by Joanne B. And before Bruce shares, I'm going to announce it. We are on page 59, and we're talking about steps 10, 11, and 12. So go ahead, Bruce.
Well, thank you. This is Bruce. I'm recovered, and I live in Fort Myers, Florida area, and I'm glad to be on the call. Really happy to get to share on these steps here. Any of them would be great to share on, but I think for me, sharing on this 10, 11, 12 is really relevant. Over 25 years in the program and hardly ever worked steps 10, 11, and 12. Well, I sponsored some people, you know, but it was a lot of times it was like sort of like a codependent relationship or an ego thing. You know, I'm sponsoring this person. I can feel good about myself. And then they'd fail and I'd fail. And then we'd be in the dumps about it, you know. But coming into vision about 4 years ago, started really realizing how important this 10, 11, and 12 was. After working all the way 1 through 9 before quite a bit and never having very much success in the program. But then I get in here and then I find out how important 10 is, you know, that I need to be doing this on a day. And I do. I don't just need to be doing it on a daily basis. I do it on a daily basis because this ego, pride, arrogance, and fear and resentment comes up every day. You know, even when I'm doing well, it still comes up. When I'm not doing well, it comes up. So I do step 10, and it's sort of like a small miracle that happens. I do a step 10, I share it with somebody, and it seems like that stuff goes away, the fear, resentment, whatever it is. That, it seems to go away. It's a relief. It's amazing. And now I'm working on step 10, 11 even more so because I talked to my sponsor last night. He told me I need to be going to this back to the big book, page 86 or 87, wherever it is, that talks about this step, these two steps, and reading that and then doing the OA toolkit on it. And where was I resentful? Where was I fearful? Where was I this? Where was I that? You know, and pray. I'm doing a lot more prayer. Haven't yet today, but I will as the day goes down, getting down on my knees, doing a third step prayer, seventh step prayer, and praying for everything I can think of to pray for. I don't just pray for knowledge of his will, okay. Even though it says that, pray for it. Oh, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Joanne B., will you share with us now, and please let us know where you're calling from, and then we'll have Virginia T. share after her.
Good morning. This is Joanne B. from Texas. You covered. 10, 11, and 12, one of our sharers today talked about doing 10 and 11 well, and I was kind of smiling because for me, I would do the 12, but I wouldn't do 10 and 11 very well. And I'm so grateful for others in our program. For Harlan, for example, I remember first coming in and he would say things like how important it was to do these steps and which ones would kind of tend to fall back on. And so that gave me a red flag. And it's still, and I know others have said it too, but I know that when my two sponsors, I've been blessed to have two sponsors so far, and my first sponsor passed away, but she passed away when I was at step 10, and so I didn't learn it. And then my second sponsor, a crisis happened in her life, and when I got to step 10, and so I again really had a very weak step 10. And but what I've discovered is and I'm still weak there. And what I've discovered and what I'm discovering is that when I don't do any of these, it doesn't matter which one, 10 or 11 or 12, I start going back into my self-will. And I start getting in dangerous territory. And I loved what our readers said about it helps us to stay spiritually fit. And I had not heard that before. Maybe I missed it. But I was always thinking it helps me to stay abstinent. And so I appreciate that. And what's funny is Mo mentioned the being too high. And that's where I was yesterday. And I was like, good grief, when I get excited about something or keyed up, I start talking faster and I start talking maybe sillier. And that should be a red flag for me, what's going on. And even in that high, where's the fear? And so yesterday, having anxiety, I realized I had fear going on. And, in that anxious high. And thank you. And so there's danger everywhere, but it's a blessing. And I'm so grateful for all your shares. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. Now we'll have Virginia T. share with us. And after Virginia, I will be opening up the lines again. So good morning, Virginia.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yep.
Great. Thanks. This is Virginia T. That's T as in Tom, and I live in Georgia. And I'm grateful to be able to share, and I'm grateful for all the service that all of you do to make this possible. Somebody was remarking recently on a phone conversation that in local meetings, that face-to-face meetings, which of course, you know, have pretty much been on Zoom or something in the last year or so, that there's not much recovery in many of them. And it occurred to me that that has also been my experience, but now that I've discovered vision, thanks to someone who was in my local meeting who told me about it, that's where a lot of 12-step work can take place, that these local struggling groups need people that are in recovery to model that and to lead people to a place where they can discover that. And I'm so grateful that this person in my local group did that and steered me to vision. And it has really made a difference in the way I've practiced the program. So I had started a meeting years ago in a community where I was then living, and it's continued. And you know, I feel like perhaps God is prompting me to start another meeting in the area where I live, and especially I live near a college campus, and I know that many of the young people there are struggling, and it may be an opportunity to be of service to the compulsive overeater who is struggling. And so I think that rather than just hiding out in this little enclave of vision, God is prompting me to go out and spread the word and help those who are still suffering. And that will in turn help my own recovery. I do it not just for them, but for myself. So I'm grateful for Vision for bringing me to this point, but I realize that I can't just sit here and enjoy it and do these Vision things and find a little comfortable setting. I'm being pushed out of the nest, but I'll still be here for my support. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Virginia T. from Georgia. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines. We are on page 59, beginning with step 10. We're talking about steps 10, 11, and 12 today. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Becca R.
Becca R.
Diane N. from Georgia.
Diane N.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, let's go with that. We have Becca R., Diane N., Mary G., and Donna B. Go ahead, Becca, and please share where you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And, you know, I said the seven-step prayer with my sponsor this morning before we had our Wednesday call. And hearing this topic today just really reminded me of that defect of character of mine, of being perfect, of showing up in this perfect way. And what that looks like today is wanting it to look a certain way. You know, when I came into program, I had a school-aged child, and I had a lot more time than I do now. I've got two other children now, two under the age of two, and or two under the age of three. And my program looks, my service looks a lot different. That 10 and 11 and 12, I've always taken out the words continue, improve, and practice. And to me, it's just like that momentum, that motion of continuing to move forward, not being stagnant, not putting my feet up on the coffee table and resting my hands behind my head and saying, oh, I've done the steps, I'm good. My youngest is 3 weeks old, and that perfectionism sneaks in and says, you're not doing 10, 11, and 12 like you did in the beginning, when you first went through the steps with your sponsor and got abstinent. And again, that perfectionism, you know, it's not going to look the same, but I'm still moving forward. I'm not in that stagnation. And this is an ever so brief season of my life. And there will become a time, should I say abstinent, that this season will be over, and again, I'll have school-age kids, and again, my time will change, and my service will look different, and my availability will be different. And so that's what came up for me. I appreciate everybody else who shared, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. from Kentucky. Diane N., will you share with us now, followed by Mary G.? Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you all for your service. My name is Diane. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater from Metro Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm so grateful for these steps, 10, 11, and 12, because today, I'm by God's grace, I'm recovered in the rooms. I've been in the room for a long time, over 40 years now, my recovery. And I've been abstinent from food, sugar and white flour that for years. But as far as abstinence in this program without compulsively overeating, I have about almost a year and a half of abstinence. And by, like I like to say, because of God's grace, and that's because I finally figured out how to work step 10, 11, and 12. It was finally revealed to me. I don't think I understood it all those years. I think I kept wanting to do things my way for years and thinking, I didn't have to work them the way it was written. But now I look at it and I just follow the directions. It says continue. You know, I didn't realize that when you continue to take inventory in step 10, you're actually doing steps 4 through 9, and then you're doing 10. So, essentially for me, I've learned by, attending all these workshops and podcasts and reading that 10 is telling you to work steps, 11 telling us to work the steps and to increase our spiritual life. And 12, step 12 is 3 parts. So if you work those 3 steps, you're working all the steps every day throughout the day, because that's what, for me, continued means. And people might have different ways of wanting to work step 10, but for me, the minute something happens, I try to do a 10 step about it. And 12 for me is in 3 parts, but essentially 10, 11, and 12, you're working the steps. I finish working them, and then I start over. And I don't think I did that initially. Actually, I didn't. But 12 is in 3 parts, and it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, so we got to do the steps. We tried to carry this message, doing service. That's the second part. And to practice these principles in all our affairs. And it's as if I finally see I have to work the steps. I heard someone say that there's no elevator, to recovery. And how else did they say? There's not even an escalator. You have to work the steps. So that's where I'm at today. Yesterday I had received some news from my doctor. And the thing is, I can't really get in to see her. They won't be able to see me until the 10th of this month or whatever, next week, the 7th. So, okay, time. Okay, and I'll close with this. So what did I do? I went to my meeting. I did my service. I did what I was supposed to do, because that's all I can do today is trust God and clean house. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane Ann from Georgia. Mary G., will you share with us, followed by Donna B.? Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so my take on 10, 11, and 12 is, as many of the previous fellows have mentioned, 10 is just, 4 through 9, and for me, and as it does say in, the book, the whole idea of this program is to find a higher power that could relieve me of this addiction. And and in step 11, I'm trying to find what this higher power's, will for me is. And I have to do this on a daily basis. And there's many ways of doing it. But for me, the way I do it is a new practice called, it's not a new practice. It's actually a very old practice, but a new practice to me, and it's called two-way prayer. And it's quite simple. And I try to seek out, my higher power's will for me. And to me, my higher power doesn't want me to feel guilt and feel remorse. And that kind of jumps back up to step 10, So when I do a harm or I have, you know, a wrong, I write my wrong because the guilt and remorse eat away at me. And to me, it leads to the food. And then, you know, working the steps, again, the whole idea is to find a power greater than ourselves that, you know, could relieve us of this addiction. And when that does happen, and when you, I should say, when I had that spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, I guess mine was more of an awakening. It was a slower, you know, the educational variety. How could you not want to spread the word? The whole, you know, for me, it's such a great thing to be in recovery. I want to share it with others. And I want to practice these principles in my affairs because it's such a better way of life. These steps, you know, 10, 11, and 12, you know, people call them the walking around steps. It's such a nice blueprint for living. Right your wrongs, try to figure out what God's will for you is, and then go spread the good word. And yeah, that is all I have. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. from Chicago. Now, Donna B., will you share with us? And then I'll be opening up the lines again. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I'm reminded of the line in the big book that says, the point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And for me, the practice, the action, the doing of steps 10, 11, and 12 is how I grow along spiritual lines. In step 10, I have the opportunity to do an honest appraisal of my spiritual fitness and to share that with my fellows, which gives me an opportunity to grow in my spiritual fitness by connecting with others. And in step 11, there's really an invitation there to practice lots of different methods of prayer and meditation and to grow and to change. I too was relatively recently introduced to two-way prayer and also introduced to a completely different form of meditation that has been really transformative in my life. And in step 12, I think for me, one of the spiritual opportunities in working with others is an opportunity to see where I was and where I am now. It's very easy for me to sort of assess myself on a daily basis and focus on my deficiencies and where I have not been relieved of my defects of character. But when I reflect on my own story, in working with others, I can see how much progress has been made and really acknowledge that there has to be a power greater than myself working in my life because these are changes I just could never do on my own. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. And now I'm going to open up the line and take a couple more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. We are on page 59, talking about steps 10, 11, and 12. So who would like to share?
Jen W.H.
Jen W.H.
Ken, K-E-N.
Oh, Ken, very good. Thank you. And one more name?
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Okay, Ken.
Mary G.
I'm sorry, we don't have any more time. Mary, please come back and share tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, Ken W.H., would you go ahead, please?
Okay. Hopefully I'm unmuted. If not, you'll let me know in a minute.
You're good.
I'm good. Thanks. one of the challenges I have is to compartmentalize things. And early on, in as I listened to Vision, I was getting impatient at this one paragraph at a time thing. I wanted you to read whole sections. And I've come to so much appreciate that we do one paragraph at a time. So it's hard for me to think in terms of 10, 11, and 12 all at the same time. Not just the paragraphs, but the steps. So I'm just going to kind of look a little bit at 10. And remember that it tells me elsewhere in the literature that whenever I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. And for a long time, I thought, wait a minute. It doesn't say that I did something wrong. It just means that there's something not right with me, and that that's what I need to address. Something's not right with me. And I've come to understand that if I'm not right with myself, if I haven't gotten right with myself, I can't be right for anybody else. So I need to address those issues when I feel disturbed and don't feel quite right. I need to get with somebody and get that out and get it on the table so that I can be in a better place to then be of service, not only to my God, but to others as well in steps that follow. So thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you so much, Ken W.H. And Elaine B., will you share with us now?
Thank you so much for your service, Don B. So this is Elaine B., recovered in Massachusetts, and so grateful for these steps. One of my favorite lines in the big book is before step four, which is that when we straighten out spiritually, we straighten out mentally and physically. And so what we understand, what we've come to understand by this point, is our problem is a spiritual problem. And what we've learned to do is things that will help us be unblocked spiritually, that will help us continue to straighten out one day at a time, mentally and physically. So if I am agitated or doubtful, I can ask for the right thought or action. If I am carrying a resentment or a fear, I know now how to process that information. And my sponsor told me, you know, it's sort of like having poo on your shoe. You don't want to walk around, you could stink up the place. So we got to stop and clean up the poo off our shoe as we go throughout the day. And then at night, we get a second chance, because there's probably nothing worse than climbing into bed with poo on your shoe, right? So we have an opportunity to do a daily review at night, and then to set our relationship with our higher power right at the end of the at the beginning of a new day. So we want to continuously improve our conscious contact with God, and that's a 24/7 thing as we understand Him, praying only for the knowledge of the will of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And so our higher power is our solution. This is a spiritual program, and when we straighten out spiritually, but it's not an overnight matter, and it continues for a lifetime, because I guarantee you more will be revealed. It's the layers of the onion, you know. What disturbed me when I came into the rooms at 2013, when I came into Vision in 2013, God has dealt with so many things, but there are new things, there are new frontiers, you know, and there are things that I'm still, character defects that I'm still struggling with, fears that still dominate me. But boy, have I gained. I'm such a different person. My marriage has changed. Every relationship has changed, especially my relationship with food and my dependency on it for ease and comfort. And God has found other areas to help me have more and more of a spiritual awakening, because we want to stay awake. We don't want to go back to sleep and miss out on everything that we had when the food was between us and everybody in the room, or the other things that disturb us, mainly fear, that trusting and relying on finite self or trusting and relying on infinite God. So these are daily practices to help us help others gain the spiritual awakening and maintain it. And what a privilege. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine B., and thank you to everyone who shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Jordan. Go ahead, press star one.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and grateful to be on a meeting with you guys this morning. Okay, 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.